Blog Talk Radio.
Something happened to me last Thursday when I was driving home. I had a couple of miles to go. I looked up and saw a glowing orange object in the sky to the east. It was moving very irregularly. Suddenly, there was intense light all around me. When I came to,
welcome, Strange Round Figure of the Universe. I got Greg Shannon on it. I got the author of the book, Afterlife Healing Circle, Candace L. Talmadge. Let's bring her on. Good evening, Candace.
Well, hello, Lauren. How are you doing this evening?
Doing great. Thank you. Now, I know that the book isn't coming out for another month, but I'm glad you're able to join me tonight.
Well, I'm delighted to be here. So, what do you want to talk about?
Well, so the Afterlife Healing Circle, give me a little information on that. How did that all go about?
Well, I'll try to give you the thumbnail version, and we can expand as you wish. Basically, the Afterlife Healing Circle is more commonly known as a seance or a psi session. My issue with the traditional seance is that it is a very bastardized, degenerate form of something that is really meant to be a very powerful, beautiful spiritual tool to connect us in the physical body with souls that do not have a physical body. Now, this can occur after a person has, quote-unquote, died, all right, the physical body has died, or it can occur before a person is born into a physical body. Soul communication goes both ways. It isn't limited to after death. And there
also,
is a
huge... beforehand, too. So, like, even before we're even created, because it's interesting you said that one time. I had a dream before my son was born. I had a dream, and it felt like way before he was born, I knew the sex of determining the sex from my dreams, and also I was able to. It seemed like I knew what he looked like too. It was crazy. But go ahead, please.
No, I'm curious. Did he, in fact? How old is your son now?
He's three.
He's three. Is he a like the being you saw in your dreams?
Oh, yeah. Down the old to the T.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, there are souls who know how to connect and don't need other people's help. But a lot of times souls try to connect either before birth or after death, and the person is too grief-stricken or too anxiety-ridden, or the soul isn't quite sure how to go about it. But what we have here is the need to connect, the need to communicate, the need to talk to each other. And that doesn't go away just because someone has died or just because someone hasn't been born yet. All right? I believe that our whole definition of life is far too limited.
Okay.
So what the book tries to do is it tries to help people in the sense that, you know, there's a whole debate about whether there is an afterlife, all right? And I have my opinion, just like everybody else. There's been a lot of rather interesting research of late about whether or not there could be an afterlife. But that, for the purposes of this book, that's beside the point. The point of this book is that people are in pain. They have unresolved grief, or they're very anxious for whatever reasons about becoming a parent. And that's what the Afterlife Healing Circle was written to address, how to resolve grief and how to alleviate anxiety, you know, pre-birth jitters. Because what psychology and psychiatry is finally beginning to admit is that traditional approaches to grief really don't work. All right? You know, the talk therapy, the medications, and the self-help groups, they can get people so far, but then there's something missing. They're still not able to finally resolve it and be at peace.
Rachel,
so this
no
is
closure.
Where the there's well closure in the sense that they're just the anguish, all right? The anguish dissolves, all right? That's the closure. Because of course it's not the same if a person has died. I mean, there's a reason we're in the physical body. But when people finally can satisfy themselves that their loved one isn't lost forever and their loved one is basically okay or getting better and has moved into a different space, that's when the anguish begins to dissolve, and that's when they can have that peace or that closure.
That's key. That's actually, you know, everything you just said in that just now, Candace, that's key. You know, and a lot of times, I'm sure a lot of my audience has, you know, when a loved one has died, and we've all lost, but a lot of times we imagine that they're somewhere else, or, you know, they're not gone, but we just, you know, like they're in another country or something, like, you know, and it's awesome, or just in another place, but it's awesome that you're able, you know, that you put a book together that helps deal with, you know, life and death. That's two of the biggest stressful times in somebody, when a life is coming in and when a life's going out, when you got to do it, you know, and to be able to, you know, to have the, you know, the
help.
The help. Yeah, the
help.
You know,
and the
only
thing
help
is that,
sometimes, Candace.
Oh, absolutely. And the thing is, though, that what this book proposes and urges people to consider is that we can actually, with the help of friends or loved ones or neighbors or whoever, we can get answers for ourselves. In other words, I'm not asking people to read about it and think about it. I'm asking people to read it, pick it up, and do it.
Yeah.
And if they try, and I don't expect them to be perfect. In fact, there'll be a lot of bumps and starts till they get more comfortable with the process. But if they will go through the experience, then they can decide for themselves how they felt about it, whether there really is life beyond the physical, and whether that can help them with either their grief or their parent-to-be nerves, whichever it is, on whichever side of the transition. Because they're really two just different transitions. They're a transition into the physical reality or a transition out of the physical reality.
You know, it's so Candace, how did you become interested in contact with the dead?
Well, like everybody else, I knew all the stereotypes about seances, and I wasn't really terribly interested in it because I don't particularly care for phenomena and that kind of thing. I mean, I just think it's stupid, you know. That's just me. That's my opinion. It just doesn't impress me. So it's a long story. I describe it in the book, but basically I found a woman who had a healing process that goes much deeper than, you know, the healing circle. The afterlife healing circle can go so far, but when you really have deep issues, you need something else. And that method she had was something else. So I was so impressed and awed by what it had helped done for me that I said, okay, let's start a school, and, you know, you can come and do this full time. And that's what happened. We started a school, and she was working full time on counseling and doing this particular therapy called Sunon therapy for people. And the mother of one of her students, desperately for 20 years, she'd been searching for closure after her mother's death, the woman's grandmother. So Jana said, well, you know, we can do a healing circle for this person if your mother, you know, and the woman did. And in the book, her name is Clara, and that's the first healing circle that I sat in on, and that was back in 1987. And the experience was so profound and so amazing And I sat there after it was all done, and I realized this is exactly, this was an act of worship, all right? This was a celebration of life eternal, and this is what people go to church and yearn to feel, and this is where they can find it. So it was just, it basically, it knocked my socks off because the information was there. The woman got the healing she needed. It was a very moving, beautiful session. Most of them are. They're also funny, and they can be frustrating. But the whole point is, it is an experience. Now, you know, you look at the afterlife, and there's a big discussion right now about the afterlife. And basically, there are several categories of books. The first is what I call the great man of science has a near-death experience and has to tell everybody that he now believes in heaven. And we've had several of those. Then we've had the afterlife experiments. People are doing experiments in the afterlife. So another man of science, and it's almost invariably a man of science, talks about the experiments that they're doing and has become convinced that there is an afterlife because of the work that he's done with mediums. Then there is the Heavenly Tourism book, where people have their own near-death experiences and come back and say, I went to heaven and it's beautiful, or whatever. Okay, I'm not belittling these. I'm just saying that all of these are categories, but they kind of beat around the bush. Why is everybody interested in it? What is so upfront, close, and personal about the afterlife, other than the fact that we're all going to die? Well, you know, we're only going to die once, at least in this lifetime. The problem is that we all have loved ones who die. That's what's eating away at us.
Well, that's what, and I say this a long time, I've said this for a long time, because, you know, it's, you know, I'm happy about life, I love life, but what's really hard is we get attached to our family and to the loved ones and our children and to us, everybody, and, you know, in they're going to lose us, or we're going to lose them, you know. But getting attached, and when we get attached, whenever we think that, oh, if they're not sitting beside us in the chair or talking to us on the telephone, then they're just out of the picture and just gone. And you know, and I think that this book would really help people to dissolve that wrong information.
Exactly, and what I'm saying is that this book, without having to do all those experiments or without having to have a near-death experience, because personally, I don't particularly want to have one, okay?
No,
one time per life will be enough, all right? We can still experience the reality of the life and living and surviving the physical body. That is what the Afterlife Healing Circle gives to every person who participates, the experience, without having an extreme event happen. And the only thing that convinces us is the experience. We have to have the emotional experience. We have to walk a mile in someone else's moccasins or walk a mile in a certain set of moccasins in order to get that feeling and experience. Once we've had it, then it becomes a lot more real to us. That is what the Afterlife Healing Circle can bring to people. You know, you have, you know, there's a whole section on, yes, you're not going to trust it at the beginning, you're going to self-doubt, but the whole point is to keep at it, just practice, you know? And at some point, it will come through. I mean, I even talk about a woman who has a regular group of friends who several years ago got together and started doing table tipping, which, of course, is another form of seance.
I had a guest on, a guy named Rick Chris that I met him from doing table tip, and he died last year, but I had his memorial show on last week, a couple weeks ago, and it was just very beautiful. I'm all familiar with that. It's really, really tremendous stuff. And compelling to be able to witness that. Excuse me, though. I want you to...
No, but what I was going to say about that is that, yes, table tipping, you know, like the Ouija board or whatever, it's one way to do it, but it's very limited. In other words, you have to say a yes, no. Or you have to wait for the Ouija pointer to, you know, go around the board a gazillion times to get anything. What happens during the afterlife healing circle is that because of the presence of a group of people and because of the process that we teach, the method, which is very simple, the information just comes, it starts to flow through, and you can have a conversation, not a yes, no, guess at the right question type thing. It's a very...
You can ask them more than that.
Mm-hmm. It's a much richer, much more free-flowing experience, and you can say what it is you really need to say other than, are you okay? Yes. Do you feel my love? Yes. You know, that kind of thing. It's very different.
So, like, Candace, how, for my audience at home, how would this traditionally start, this the circle or these seances? Now, would it have to be in a group, or could it be within, give me a little bit more information on that.
Well, the traditional seance, you know, it's basically kind of a lot of gimmickry, okay, unfortunately. So, you know, the book describes the method, how you gather a group of people. There is a certain sequence to it. But even before that, I want to go back and I say, before you ever try this,
please,
you're going to have to get familiar with your intuitive side, because that's how you get information. When people are not in physical bodies, they cannot talk to you, all right, not in the way that you and I are talking. All
of
they
course.
Can do is try to go through your intuitive or psychic senses, all right? That's what it is. You can sometimes just know that they're there. Sometimes you can feel their presence. Sometimes you become aware, or you get a vision of a person in front of you, or you just sort of have an understanding. Or maybe even, you know, like in the movie Ghost, you hear a voice inside your head, all right, or outside your head. That's clairaudience.
Now, what about peripheral? What about the peripherals? Because sometimes I think that I catch a lot of things from my peripheral, and then when I go into focus, I can't see. I think that's a lot how we... Go ahead.
Well, again, it's sort of... Sometimes if you're in your peripheral vision, you're more in your third eye as opposed to your physical vision. And, yes, you will get a glimpse or and kind of a shadow or something, you know. But... once you open up, once you start playing, and I, you know, the book has a few techniques for you to just try, and there are many, many books that, some of which I list, about, you know, raising your soul senses and practicing it. And that's what you want to do. You want to practice that, because it isn't just to communicate with children-to-be or loved ones who've died. You know, your soul senses are the way inside of you, inside your own consciousness, to your deeper self. And you want
it's a better
that for
understanding,
you.
It's a better understanding of yourself and of your life and where it's going and where it's going to go, where it's been, so everything can come full circle. I don't want to go too far. But, you know, that's really amazing, too, because... you know, a lot of people, especially in this day and age, with you know, there's a lot of a lot of homeless, a lot of poverty, a lot of violence, a lot of separation, and I really think it's because, and I don't like to use the word hang-ups, but a lot of people have issues that it's hard for them to deal with, and. They deal with it, and it could be a loss of loved one, and it could be, but, you know, to make a long story short, it using violence or using some kind of means because they can't deal with something that's happened to either to them or something, or losing a loved one or something along the lines. Are you following me?
Yes. Yes, I am. And it's very interesting because the soul senses are the way in to find out where those issues are, because I can guarantee you they're in the emotional body, all right? I'm an energy healer, and I know exactly where they are and how to go and get them. And that's what you need your soul senses for, because that will tell you stuff about you that you have absolutely no conscious awareness of. All right? You think it's one thing and it's another thing entirely. And I can't begin to tell you how many clients that's happened with me. You know, it's just, it's not what they think consciously. You know, we were never meant to be so separated from ourselves, but we are. And that separation from our inner selves is the same thing that separates us, keeps us feeling isolated, and separates us from children that are about to be born or loved ones who have passed on. All right? It's a real separation, and yet it doesn't have to exist. It's what do we put our focus to, and will we start trusting our intuitive, our emotional, and spiritual half? Because, frankly, we're taught that the only valid parts of ourselves are our physical body and our mental body or conscious mind. All right?
Yeah.
That's the two that society, you know, we give lip service to the spiritual body, all right? But basically, we're supposed to be body-mind, that's it. Well, unfortunately, that reduces us to half of who we really are, all right? We are not just body-mind. We are body, mind, spirit, and heart, that emotional body. And that emotional body is...
I'll just chime in for a second. Is, you know, and I think that that's the reason why today, Candace, a lot of people have, you know, we're not taught, well, we're actually programmed or conditioned to not being able to use our third eye and all these different, you know, spiritual powers that we naturally are supposed to have. And I believe that's why a lot of people use substances and stuff like that is, for the substance abuse is because they don't, they're not naturally being able to, you know, do what we were meant to do as human beings. But about the conditioning part, we're never taught, we've got to go out here and find our own answers. But the way we're taught, you know, from television programs or even in school and stuff like that, is not to even go there, not to even use that kind of aspect or your daydreaming or mental illness. They say, you know, if you say a lot of the, you know, things out of the spiritual realm or something like that, they'll try to label you mentally ill. And I just really think that that's just a bad labelment, you know, and a bad stereotype for the way that us human beings and the way that our creation, the way that we're originally supposed to be, and we are being programmed not to use that. So it feels like we're living a half a life. I'll let you take over.
No, and I totally agree with you. And there are reasons for that. There are reasons we are vulnerable to conditioning and programming that you talk about. Well, let me pose a scenario for you. What would happen if people felt connected to the divine, however they define it, and they trusted their own hearts, and they went with their own hearts? Do you think governments could get them to go to war? I doubt it.
No.
I mean, you look at the Vietnam veterans and you look at the Iraq War veterans, and they're coming back traumatized because that's what war does to you. But they've been conditioned in programming that it's patriotic to go to war for your country. And if you don't trust your inner self and you don't trust your heart, and you lack that thing, you can't stand up and say, no, this is wrong. I'm not going to do it. Fight your own battle. Get your own oil. All right?
Yeah.
That is this is really what, you know, to me, the afterlife healing circle is grassroots spirituality, that it is a tool that we can use to raise our self-trust and to find our own answers and truths, all right? And that is probably the most subversive thing that anybody can advocate for, really, all right? Because we're supposed to accept other truths.
You couldn't ask for nothing better than that. You really couldn't, because It seems like we're living in a great awakening right now in 2015. Well, it's been for the last few years, maybe the last, you know, couple decades. But the thing about it is now more than ever, the awakening has begun. But people still don't know where to go. People still don't know how to make that transition.
Well, there's a great deal of fear. I mean, that's what I do as a Soon-On therapist. I help people find their inner truths. And, you know, you talked about how people are separated and they're only living out of half their lives. There's a specific thing in our consciousness, which, of course, is an energy field. There is a specific thing in our consciousness that is keeping us separate and keeping us in pain and keeping us from trusting ourselves and keeping us feeling powerless and helpless. And it's judgment against self.
Yeah.
The
and
more
negative,
we...
Yeah, negative thinking against ourselves. You know, because the beautifulest woman or the beautifulest person could look in the mirror and see a monster. And how, you know... And it's just, you know, it boggles my mind. But it goes back to how we are conditioned of what beauty is. We're conditioned of what all these things, of what a normality is, of all these different things. And it can leave a person baffled when they stumble upon what's really going on behind the scenes and what's and how you can... access these great abilities like you mentioned in your book.
Well, and to me, from where my based on my own personal experience of healing and being a healer, I know that there are innate abilities of the soul senses, and that the soul is unlimited. So while our physical bodies have limitations, our souls do not. And we can use the perspective of the soul to help us heal, but we also need to get beyond the self-judgments and let go of them from that emotional body. So,
yeah.
So what people have, and you start where you are, all right? If you're not doing what the therapy that I do, you start where you are, all right? The Soon-On therapy. And one of the things that people can do is practice and have fun with, you know, I tell people in the book, you know, make it a game. All right? Start using your soul senses. Make it a game. And you've got some techniques to blend with the surroundings and to blend with photographs of people you don't know and do an exercise, you know, get a photograph of, you know, someone you don't know but have someone there who does know that person, and then you blend with that photo and jot down everything that you know comes to your mind, you know, and you'd be amazed how accurate those are.
That I've never thought that. I'm gonna have to try that. That would be a nice.
It's just amazing to me. I mean, I did one that really stood out in my mind. It was a webinar, and I put up some photos on the web page that everybody was on the phone was looking at, and one woman, I mean, I knew this woman rather well, and one of the women on there just did the most amazing. Now, she's a coach, and she's highly intuitive, and she just went right in, and she honed in on this woman's major issue. It's one of those issues that she has been wrestling with for thousands of lifetimes. And this other woman who doesn't know her name, never met her before, sliced right through it. And I've seen that again and again. I've seen that again and again.
That's what gets you weak in the knees, you know, when somebody is able, especially with a photograph, and then somebody you never met or anything, will tell you word for word, fact, down to the grit. It gets you weak in the knees, kind of gets you a little dizzy because, you know, that's true.
It doesn't get me weak in the knees. It just makes me celebrate because this is the birthright of every soul, Lauren.
Or
everybody can do what that woman did.
Of course. Oh yeah, of course. I'm talking about from the first person, you know, from the person that it's just first happened to, the guy, the person that has that's not able to let go, or the one that wants answers. When they finally get them answers, that's what I mean.
Oh, sorry about that. Well, yes, that is a very, very.
Yeah,
and what I want people to understand is that this woman was not a medium. She wasn't a psychic. She's just an intuitive person. She's a creative person. She recognizes her creativity and her intuition. Everybody has that. Has that. And the people who stifle it away and don't allow it into their lives, it's unfortunate, because then, like you said, you're living a half a life, because you're living out of half your being. So that's what I'm hoping, that practicing these exercises and doing an afterlife healing circle, I recommend that when people try it, don't do it for someone where there's a real sort of emotional clutch. Do it for someone who's passed on, and ask them to come in where it's okay. I mean, you're pretty much okay, but it would be nice to visit with that person again. All right? That will probably, because see, when there's a real lot of emotional stuff, you have a hard time trusting what you're getting. So I suggest to people that, you know, my co-author and I suggest that, you know, we've written this book and we suggested, hey, you know, do some stuff where it's not going to be the really big deal. And you'll find that it's a lot of fun. You know, the woman, you know, remember the woman I told you about, Deb, she's the table tipper and she's in my book.
Oh, yeah.
Well, she did, you know, her husband was a physician. And, of course, he thought she and her friends were absolutely crazy. So when he died and they did a table tipping session for him several months later, the first thing he told her was, "You're right." he said, "Yeah, I'm still here. I still have consciousness. You're right. There's something beyond the physical body." So
now I was going to tell you, Candace, is there a you know, when somebody that like to, okay, just say for somebody recently lost a loved one, is there a cooling off period from grievance to contact, or do you promote trying to make contact at you know, as soon as possible, or is it really making your mind be able to not even be sad, or not even be? Well, of course, I mean, we're human; we're going to have emotions of grief, but be able to connect. In that, so we don't.
Well, look at it this way. You know, suppose you do move to another country.
Okay.
What you will do is that you have a lot of things to do. It's a big transition. So it's going to take you a little while to get yourself settled. Then you'll want to reconnect with your family or your friends. Same thing when you transition or die, all right? Most people, good majority of souls, will have things to do and stuff to settle, and then they'll look around and they'll go, "I really want to say something. You know, I didn't have a chance to say this, and I really want to say something." And they'll try their best to get in touch with a loved one, all right, who's still back in a physical body. So it really entirely depends on the circumstances of the death and the emotional shape of the person who wants to contact. We call this person the inquirer, all right? So that, I can't give you a set time. You know, for some people, it might be immediately. I mean, there are vivid stories, many vivid stories about how people see apparitions, and that's exactly when the time the person crosses over, all right? But there are also times when people wait months or years, you know, they go by, and then suddenly there's a need to communicate. So it's you know, there's no one way, you can't say one way or the other. It's very individual, all right? So I don't want people to, you know, think there's a set time. It's when you're ready and when the soul is ready.
Yeah. It is. That's very true, Dennis, because, you know, the there could be different situations, and, you know, because death comes at all angles, all different forms, all different ways. And it's never expected. It's never something easy to deal with, especially if that person means something to you. And
yes,
but it's very important to know, hey, you don't have to go your whole life feeling empty and thinking that that person is just lost forever. Nothing, all is not lost.
Exactly. Exactly, and that's the one, if that's the bottom line message of my book, is that all is not, no one is ever lost forever. We can always find each other, and we will find each other. And that is something that people need to not just read, not just hear, but they actually need to experience it before it can become part of their emotional truth, all right? That's what the book, this is what the experience of the Afterlife Healing Circle is set up to do, is to help people get that experience and realize that, yes, it is true. It can be, it's true for you, and it's true for your loved ones.
You couldn't ask for anything better than that. You really couldn't. And you know, unfortunately, the time is up for us tonight, but I really came out learning a lot, you know, for, and I thought that we covered a lot of topics for what little time we had. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for helping me and making me see things from it, and my audience through a different perspective. And that's really so important, Candace. It really is.
Well, Lauren, thank you for having me as a guest. And if people are more interested in what the book is about, they can always visit the book's website, which is www.thehealingcirclebook.com.
That's
where there's more information.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you. And I want you to have a great weekend. And take care of yourself.
You too, Lauren. Good night.
Thank you. Good night. Contact in the afterlife. I don't think that's too far-fetched. Until next week on Strange Surrounding, Secret Universe.